Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Hello, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. This show is about your personal experiences, and everyone has a story to share. We invite you to share yours with us and our audience tonight. Many people have had personal experiences that defy mainstream thinking, and we would like you to join us as we explore the types of experiences that people have, what those experiences mean, and how we can integrate them into our daily lives. Although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this particular show of Signs of Life Radio centers around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. Your co-host for this Signs of Life episode will be Janet Mayer, Forever Family Foundation certified medium and author of Spirits, They Are Present, and yours truly, Kimberly Saavedra, director of the Comlock Center in California. Unfortunately, our dear friend and co-host, Dr. Betty Kovach, is unable to join us tonight. She's a little under the weather, so Janet and I will carry on with you. The call-in number to share your story, ask a question, provide some feedback to something you've heard on the show is 888-627-6008. We want to hear from you, and you never know how important your story may be to someone in need of reassurance that there is life beyond the physical world and that it is possible to communicate with and receive signs from loved ones who have passed. Hello, dear Janet. Betty and I both missed you the last 2 months, as well as being with the listeners as we observed our Thanksgiving holiday and the Christmas holiday in the United States. So welcome. Yeah. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well, Kim. I'm doing well. Like you said, it's been a couple months. It was kind of, you're so used to doing it every month, and then you're like, oh, I don't have it. We're not doing it this month. There's holidays. And honestly, this is that time, too, where those holidays can be brutal, you know, when you've lost a loved one, when you're going through a lot of grief. And I know I've had experience myself, and it is really difficult, but at the same time, I just focused on, you know, finding goodness in the holidays and, you know, celebrating. And it, you know, they went by really quick. And now here we are in January, and it's, you know, almost the end of January already.
Oh, wow. And I'm sure a lot of people who suffer through them are glad they're behind us, but hopefully they were able to connect with people who love and support them. And feel a little gratitude for that peace and love that surrounds them and embraces them while they're going through that passage.
Right. And I think too, like, you know, I always look at January, you know, people are always like, oh, I want to do this in January. I want to start exercising. I want to do this. And I'm like, you know, I just think January is kind of a good time to reflect and a good time to regroup, you know, and take time for yourself and all those thoughts that you've been going through in the last months and everything, you know, you've been experiencing and dealing with. And I mean, there's a lot of high and lows, you know, you don't get me wrong. There's a lot of high and lows through the holidays, but I always kind of feel like, well, okay, you know, we are on this planet for a purpose. We have all kinds of experiences, and let's, you know, we can understand that when we lose a loved one, we had that privilege to be with them for all that time, or, you know, for however long. And we get to, you know, feel that they helped us grow. And I'm like, okay, you know, how did they help me grow? And what do I learn? And I've also, I have to say, I was, you know, reading Laura Lynn Jackson's book, Guided. And I love it because I totally, you know, agree with all of it. And I think that, you know, it's really important that we remember that our loved ones who have come through, our loved ones that were here, they have taught us so much while they were here. And we forget that sometimes because, you know, you're in grief, but you realize, you know, all these experiences that you were able to have with them is such a blessing and such a privilege. And I always try to remember that as well, because sometimes you kind of, you know, you can go down that, you know, grief rabbit hole, and it's kind of like you have to bring yourself back up and say, okay, you know what? I was blessed to have these experiences. I am very, you know, honored that I got to know these people, the loved ones around me. And then you have to kind of move on with that too and say, okay, I know you're with me, and ask for signs, like she always says to ask for signs. I always say, you know, you can ask for signs, and for me, you know, my tagline, pay attention, that
Oh,
they're
yeah.
helpful practice, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And you hit on something. That is my prayer, Janet, to remember. I mean, I can celebrate the moments of my life and the people who make it beautiful. And I am trusting. And it's also a trust and a prayer that when our time is up, that I will be able to sit in gratitude, you know, for those. In my case, it's been years of having the people I love in my life. Some it's not so many years, and it feels, you know, much shorter than it might have been. But in my case, I've had so many of my loved ones for decades, you know. But I think I will, because I'm so keenly aware how precious it is and how what blessings they are, you know. And if we can have them for however long we do, I just hope that the gratitude comforts me through the grief and guides me through the grief, because I think it's the only thing that will really help
And you
me.
know, and you know, the thing with that too is I think that as much grief as we feel, you know, and as sadness, and if we find that comfort, and then we have these, you know, signs that come along the way, incidents that come along the way, you know, coincidences, synchronicities, and you know, and people like, and feel free, anyone who wants to call in and share their wonderful story of, you know, connecting with spirit, we would love to hear it, because, you know, I think it not only helps, you know, it helps all the listeners, and it helps everyone find a little comfort knowing that their loved ones are around. And I did have this one experience I wanted to share. You know me, I always have odd things happen around me, and I'm kind of, I guess I don't want to say one of the prevalent things in my life, or a lot of times there's a lot of physical manifestations or physical things that happen around me. And you know, I was this past week, I was in our basement downstairs, and I was working on a painting. I paint, and I was my husband had left to run an errand, and you know, all of a sudden I heard, you know, I'm walking down the hall upstairs and walking through, you know, you could hear him walking through the hall and down into the bedroom, and I was like, oh, he's home. I didn't hear him come in. And so I ran upstairs and I'm like, hey, you know, how's it going? You know, what happened? And we were going to talk about what, you know, what he was doing. And I walked down the hall and I'm like, you know, he's not in the bedroom and he's not in the bathroom. And I'm like, hey, Carl, you know, where are you? What's going on? And I walked all through the whole house and I'm like, okay. I'm like, he's not here. And I opened the garage door, went through the mudroom, opened the garage door, and I'm like, there's no car. His car is gone. And I was just like, okay, don't freak out. Because my first thought is, it's somebody in my house. And then I'm like, no, I think there was a spirit coming through, because while I was painting, you know, you kind of meditate, you think about loved ones. And I was like, okay, maybe there was a loved one coming through, or somebody just letting me know they're around. Because in my home, you know, as in the past, I've told you, we've had things move around in our house. But you know, there were many years ago when in this house where I did call the police on spirit, because you know, the door opened in one of the rooms, and like from the mudroom into the house, and that door opened, and I heard walking, and so I hightailed it out the front door, ran across the street, called 911. They came, they brought their dog in the house, looked around, and they're like, you know, ma'am, there's no one in your home. And I'm just like, no, they came in through the door. You see the door's open. They're like, well, I'm, you know, this blah blah blah, and they give you the whole story, and I'm like, okay. And so it was pretty crazy when it happened. And so when this happened this past week, I was like, I wonder if it was around the same time, because I kind of feel like it was like in January or February. So I thought, I wonder what's going on. Would that be residual energy? Is it maybe, you know, spirit coming through? And it was just, even for like, you know, a medium, you question it, and you're like, I know what I heard, that I ran up the stairs to, you know, greet him. And so, you know, of course I do a meditation then, and I'm like, who's coming through? And I did feel like it could have been a family member, and I thought it was kind of cool, but at the same time, it's just like, you know, you do get really surprised. And so when somebody shares a story with a loved one, and or, you know, with one of their friends or something, and then their friend's like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, whatever. It's like, you know what? When they're not part of it, they won't understand it. But when you're in it and it's happening around you, you know what you see, you know what you've heard, you know what you've experienced. And I think that's really important for listeners to remember that, that your experience is your experience. And no matter who you tell and whether they believe it or not, it doesn't change the fact that it happened around you, to you, you know, with you, whether it's a dream, it's, you know, you heard somebody's name, or you, you know, experienced something where you saw something as a sign. I mean, that is your, you know, what you experienced. And I want people to remember that. That's why we share this on the air, is, you know, with each other, is to let people know that that's why we're here. We want to celebrate with each other because we are all connected, and we need to do that. So I think that's really important. But it was a really cool, you know, for it to happen. It was really pretty wild.
Oh my gosh, that is so amazing. And I can't imagine what it must have felt like for you to be dealing with the police looking through and just like, nope, you're alone.
Yeah.
You know, and you're thinking, but I'm really not.
Right. And really, it's like, you kind of know, you know, and especially, you know, when you do readings and you're opening up for other spirits to come through and talk, it's in that, and or to come through and, you know, show you like whatever you have to visualize or experience. And then you think, okay, well, you know, I closed down, so I'm sure they left. But then I'm like, well, is there somebody here for me and my family yet, you know, that's coming through? And I think that, you know, it's a really important thing to kind of stay open in a way, not all the time. You do have to, you know, close, and you do have to have boundaries, and you have to put the light around you, and understand that, you know, when someone's coming through, they're doing everything they can to get through you. It's not like you can just open a door and allow them in. It's, you have to, you know, your energies have to merge and, you know, or meld together. And I think so when it does, and when somebody has an experience, it's so extraordinary, even though it can be like a common thing for a lot of people to have, it's extraordinary because you're having that opportunity to be open and connect with a loved one, you know, who has passed. And I think that that's really important to recognize.
Oh, it's magnificent. It's magnificent. And when you think about it being part of our birthright as human beings, and that we have the capacity for this and the yearning for this, and it happens. It's,
yeah,
so inspiring. It kind of just solidifies your hold on life when you can experience what's beyond and bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
And be open to it, acknowledge it, live it, as Betty says, live it fully, you know, embrace,
yes,
it, integrate it. It's pretty magnificent stuff.
Yes.
That's
pretty cool.
That
pretty,
we,
do you want to give the number out again real quick in case, you know, somebody
Yes. Yes. 888-627-6008. And we had a caller at our October meeting, and he had written, so I'd just like to say, Romanesco, if you're listening, feel free to call and discuss what you wanted to ask. We're here and would love to hear from you, as well as anyone else who would like to, excuse me, who would like to open their hearts and share what they have. Janet, are you familiar with The Prophet, that book by Khalil
No.
Gibran?
Oh, yes, I am. Khalil Gibran, yes.
Yeah, I was looking at his poem called On Death today.
Uh-huh.
And I want to see what you think of this. And the audience too, our listeners, feel free to share your thoughts on this. Okay, he said, but how shall you find the secret of death unless you seek it in the heart of life? If you would indeed behold the spirit of death, open your heart wide to the body of life. For life and death are one, even as the river and the sea are one.
That's beautiful.
Is so.
And it's like he knew that there was a connection between life and death, and that I think it's a lot of the experiences through love, because you're opening your heart through love, and you can, and that's how you connect. That's how you become open.
Yes. Yes.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I just thought, I said, it seems so deep. You find the secret of death by seeking it in the heart of life, which is that two sides of the same coin. And if we can hold them both, we can experience it both, and we can know one through the other.
Yes, exactly.
That kind of blew me away.
Yes. I really like that. I don't remember that poem, because I think I might even have his book, because there's one of the poems is called Song of a Flower. And I loved that poem. I actually printed it out, and I had it hanging up for a long time because I really loved it. And so, you know, if you find that one, I think it's in that book. So you'll have to look that one up. But I feel like with the one that you were speaking of, with the life and the death, with life, living life, or experiencing death through life, is I think that, you know, it's also sharing that we have to live, and that our love, we understand. And then when we lose someone, that love keeps us connected. I mean, that's just how I see it, just, you know, by what you read. Maybe if I studied it longer, I'd come up with a, you know, a whole page of information. But off the top of my head, that's what it made me think of.
Right. And another line in the same poem is, in the depth of your hopes and desires lies your knowledge, your silent knowledge of the beyond. So that goes back to our capability and our longing and our wanting the signs and asking for the signs and being receptive to them, paying attention, trusting. Oh, we have a caller. Melanie from Reno, thanks for calling in.
Hi.
Hi there.
It's good to be on. I've called in a number of times with signs from my daughter. Her 5 year is coming up in February, but I was just going to share some information about how once you kind of lock in to knowing the signs, it transcends to other people.
Oh.
So I don't know if you wanted to hear the story.
Absolutely.
Well, so I've learned a lot from my daughter, and, you know, like I said, it's now 5 years in, so the heavy grief is past and our communication is great. But my dear friend, she got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and basically had about a year to live. So she lived in Tennessee. I live in Nevada, but we're 30-year-long friends. And so we talked every Sunday about things. And often I would bring it to death and what happens after dying based on my experiences with my daughter, whom she knew. And so it was getting closer to her illness getting worse. And I said, well, let's decide on a sign that you can send me after you cross. And she said, feathers. And I said, okay, feathers are fine. But another couple weeks went by and I said, you know, Stephanie, that's kind of generic, so why don't we do red feathers? And she's like, okay, I'm not sure if I can do that, but let's do red feathers. And I said, okay. So then another month goes by, and I'm sitting in a park. It has a labyrinth where I have memory stones for my daughter and a few other people. And I was sitting on a bench, and lo and behold, there's a red feather on the ground. So, of course, I'm going, oh, my goodness. So is she dead or not? So I texted her, and I said, hey, how's it going? And she's like, well, I'm hanging in there. And I said, well, I got a red feather. And she said, no way. And I said, I did. And she said, well, I wasn't sure if I could do it, so I was practicing manifesting. And I was like, okay, that's really amazing. So that came through. But then, sadly, in November, she actually did transition. And so I had a dream, which I don't really usually remember my dreams very well, but in the dream, I was in this gym. It was not like a workout gym, but like a gymnasium that had with tumbling equipment and more like a gymnastics gym, but it was full of this vibrant kid energy, light, beautiful energy. And I was in there and I was escorted into a room, and someone said, well, this is our newest member, and she has cancer. And I was settling in to talk to this energy, but then she just took off. And then someone said, "You don't belong here." And I woke up, and I didn't think too much of it. I didn't know she had died, but I had that dream within a couple hours after she died. So her daughter had texted me that my friend crossed, and I was texting her my dream, and I had gone for a run, and I was walking, and I stopped on the sidewalk to text this dream, and I looked over, and there was a sign on this lawn with an owl that was completely red.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how it ruled. But it gets better, because so that was in November, and then January rolls around, and one of her daughters wanted to meet me for coffee. She had a little gift for me, and we were going to talk about her mom a little bit. But the day before, I got two red feathers, and then that evening, I was compelled to go into one of my drawers, which I don't really go into very often, and there was an envelope of pictures, and in that envelope was two pictures of my friend from the year that we met in 1996, and I gave those to her daughter. So mm-hmm. that's how it rolls. If you,
wow.
It's amazing and beautiful.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it is. It is amazing and beautiful. And the amazing thing about that also is that can keep happening. That should have what's been happening all our life, but we weren't taught that. So it's like we have to open up, like you were open to experience it. You paid attention and you got to experience it, and you connected with, you know, with Stephanie, and you both said, you know, okay, we're going to connect, we're going to make this happen, and you did. And I mean, it's amazing and it's beautiful. And I mean, it's kind of like, if not only is it precious, and I don't want to say lucky, because it's not luck, it's actually being in tune with someone that you care about, that you love, that has been a friend all your life. And it's like your, you know, energies kind of melded together between time, you know, between her side, your side, and they came together and you experienced it. And it's physical. You saw the physical kind of manifestation of it, which is amazing and really cool. I mean, to me, I love those kind of stories because it's showing what can happen. And you saw it and you paid attention, and that's great. I love it.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. I feel grateful. But I think there's also a secondary lesson in this, which goes to something that, of course, Betty's written about and we all have talked about. But when we're alive, talk about death. It makes it less of a big deal. Like, of course, when my daughter suddenly died at the age of 16, it was an incredibly difficult 3 years in the beginning to, you know, as I said before, mature into the new relationship. But she set the standard for me. She's gifted me, and she's with me to this day. But when my friend died, and then my mom died a month earlier, and my dad died the year before, and then my cat died within a couple of weeks, it didn't floor me. I've been able to handle it because we talk about it. And that's, I guess, what I would encourage anybody who's listening is, like, if you have people alive, talk about death. It's not a gruesome topic.
I like
right.
that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's crucial. I think that's really, really crucial. And because you're willing to have that conversation with your friend and even suggest something a little bit tougher to come by as a sign.
Right. I think Melanie made a really good point on that, is to talk about death, because I know for a fact that, like, when we were young, when I was young, you just didn't talk about it. I didn't even want to say the word death. I mean, that, you know, the bye-bye Miss American Pie song, there was a word in there, and I was like, I would just jump over it. I wouldn't say it. And as I got older, I realized, I was like, why won't I talk about that? And I mean, in my case, it was a little odd because of all the weird things happening. But it was like, I understood that it was like, wow, this isn't really taboo. It's something that needs to be shared. It's something we need to talk about and express. Like, and I think it would help a lot of people not fear as much when they are, you know, going to pass, because they've not only talked about it, but they can say, okay, I'm going to send you the sign, or I want to connect, you know, from the other side. And I think that's important too. But yeah, that's a great point, Melanie. I'm glad you brought that up.
Right. Welcome.
Well, you know, I'm sorry.
No, I was saying it's so great to welcome those conversations. initiate them,
Well,
you said.
yeah, but it's kind of interesting because my cousin, who has called your show as well, we've been listening now for a number of years together, Tiffany, in Hollister,
California,
California.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, I know who you are and Tiffany. I remember both of you.
I do,
we were,
too.
Now we're 60-something, but even when we were 18, I'd be the one on the beach wanting to talk about death and philosophy, and she'd be like, I don't want to hear about this. But I want to shout out to her because since, again, my daughter's gifted us both, but her evolution to be able to listen to the shows and to talk to me about death, it used to be, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk about it. And it's just such a gift to me to have her to be able to talk to as well. It's just, you know, I feel grateful. Like, Kim, you were saying the gratitude for those who have crossed, when we can shift into that, it helps make the sad a little less hard, I think, as well.
But, thank you. You know,
yeah.
And I wanted to say, too, I mean, when I was saying ultimately, I think I should have said for me, I think it would come down to the gratitude part, because, and I wasn't negating any of these wonderful experiences and signs or anything, but sometimes people can have them and they're so in pain, they want another and another and another. But sometimes if they don't come, they feel abandoned. But if you hold on to those, you know, and see them for the huge gift that they are, they can, I would think, help.
Yeah, I agree, Kim.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that's true. That does happen where somebody says, well, I only got the one sign, or I didn't get this. And, you
or
know, or somebody else. Right.
Yeah.
And somebody else will also say, oh, well, I haven't gotten anything. How come I didn't get anything? And I'm like, well, you know, let's not, you don't have to, you know, go that far. It's like, you have to give it time. You know, everybody has different relationships with spirit, and everybody, you know, works differently. So you just have to stay open to it. But I love that if you start off with gratitude, that is a great way to begin it, because then you are being open to kind of settling into it, you know?
It's some kind of acceptance too, you know, and then the door can open to the next thing, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
great. In the beginning.
Melanie?
After my boss. Oh, I'm sorry, do you have another caller? Because I can get off.
No, not at all.
Oh, feel free.
I was just saying, thank you so much. When you call in, you always offer such wonderful hope to people and wisdom.
Well, I appreciate that, but as you all know, it's kind of hard earned, right? But I just, on the signs thing, I don't say, you know, and you have said this before, both of you and Janet and Betty, but I think, you know, the signs are there. We just have to see them. But with my daughter, in the beginning, it was, you know, and I'll admit, it was almost a desperate clinging. And she has been very generous with coins and signs. Like, I've gotten fake poker chips worth $5,000, and I got literal $50 bills, and that whole $20 bill, double $20. You know, she gives me coins still to this day, almost every single day. But in the beginning, it was a clinging. It was like, you know, it's like she kind of evaporated on me, and the that was the physical connection that I had left. But as time has gone on, I see him as the quote, you know, like a, hey, mom, you know, what a 20, she would have been 22 this year, but it's like what a 22-year-old would do. You know, you give a whole deep, you know, text or voice message about something important, and it's like thumbs up emoji, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I see the, I get my thumbs up emojis and my I love yous still, but there's not that desperate clinging to, like, if I don't get a sign, she's gone. And it doesn't work like that, I've learned. There, you know, and again, this is what I would hope people could see, is that even if it feels like the signs become less, they're still there. It's not an abandonment at all. And
right.
My experience.
Right. No, I agree totally. I mean, you know, I've had people come through 10 or 20 years later, and it just blew me away. And then I, you know, and I think that's what's important, is like you said, they're there, they're around, and they come in when needed. You know, sometimes, you know, you think you need them, you know, like you said, you need them constantly. You want another sign. But, you know, I always look at it like, you know, sometimes they're kind of letting you have to wade your way through, you know, that's why you're here. You have to experience what you have to experience, and that they're there, and they're going to give you a sign when you need it. They're going to come through in whatever way they need to come through. And sometimes it's in really crazy ways. You never know. But it's also very comforting, too, that you just know that they're there and that when it's time, they will come through. But maybe at this time, you know, somebody has to go through something on their own and they have to experience that because that's part of the experience, the human experience. You know?
Yeah.
I
Very
really
true.
like that, Janet. I really like that. And it might be, I'm just kind of thinking about what you shared, is that there's a next step and it might be listen. Sometimes you'll hear the words in your head as though you heard them in the room, or you'll smell a fragrance that is so familiar and your heart warms. It might be open to the things around you that might not be as tangible in terms of a physical presence.
Right.
That's a
right.
great point.
Go on.
Well, I was just going to say that, yeah, the getting beyond the physical, it's like, but that's the beauty of meditation. And it, you know, you can say it. And I, you know, used to think I was too busy for meditation, but when your world crumbles, it's the thing that when you can start calming your mind and sitting quietly, that's where you can get those I call them imprints, you know, some people call them downloads, but you know, in the deepest of the sad, that loving feeling of my daughter, I could feel it in the quiet. But if you don't learn how to quiet in whatever way works, like my cousin will do the rosary and that'll calm her. I'm not religious particularly, but the meditation, you know, it's like I said, I used to think, oh, I'm just too busy. And then I reflected on it. It's like if I had learned meditation before, I probably would have been much more efficient with everything. I mean, I'm a pretty efficient person, but I think I would have had a more efficient, you know, use of my energy. But it's not a bunch of baloney. It's when you can calm your mind, when you can learn to do that, that's when I think the imprints can come a little easier from your loved ones.
Makes
yeah,
sense.
I agree. And oh, go on, Betty. Or, yeah, I mean, not Betty. I'm sorry, Kim. Go ahead.
That was it. Just makes sense is all I said. It makes sense.
No, I agree. And I was thinking of something too, is that, you know, when you go through grief and it's, you know, really deep. And like you said, it's been years and you've come out of it, the deep grief, Melody. And I think that, I believe that it always leads us to new experiences, new places, greater understandings. It takes us down different roads we've never thought, you know, that you would go. And I think that, like, even when you were saying, did you meditate before your daughter passed?
No, I didn't. I always thought I was too busy to do it.
And that changes, right? And see, it shows that when you lose a loved one, you do change. It changes your whole life, you know, inside and out. But it causes you to go to take it. It causes you new experiences and new dimensions, and it takes you places that you wouldn't have ever gone. And now you meditate and you think, wow, I can't believe, you know, I do this. It's just normal, but it wasn't normal before. And so it, you know, that it does bring a lot of changes as well. And I think that's really important too, is to, you know, when you lose someone, it's kind of like, people are like, well, I don't, you know, I didn't know what to do. I wouldn't have ever expect that to happen, but it does send you down a different path. And I think sometimes when you look back then and see that path, it's kind of like, whoa, I've learned so much that, you know, like you would say, you know, your daughter has helped you learn so much. You have grown in so many directions. And I think that that's also part of, you know, it's the beauty that comes through from, you know, grief from a passing. And I think that that's important to remember too, that it's a validation that, you know, you're exploring and she helped you. And even if you didn't realize it, or you seem like you might be the type that would, but for somebody who wouldn't realize that, it has opened up new doors for them. And I think that's, you know, a really big validation, and it shows the relationship you have with someone on the other side.
Yeah. Well, that's
and
a great way to put it.
Yeah. And how far you've come, Melanie, you know,
right.
You know what to do. You're okay with the process, well, you know?
Well, that's the thing. And I guess, again, going back to encouraging, I don't know what stage, you know, whoever may be listening or or experiencing these things, it's like we can, I think, be a little more proactive. It's like, you know, but it's figure ground, right? It's like what's important in the moment is what you see. And, you know, but if I had been a meditator, maybe it wouldn't have been as hard, even though I had a pretty comprehensive, you know, conceptualization of death and the death experience. I actually wrote I think I've mentioned this before, but my doctoral dissertation was on death perspective and quality of life. So it was kind of always been a part, I guess, even before my daughter was, you know, I look at it and that was my path, I guess, you know, exploring death. And then her dying brought the theory to reality, which again, I would rather not have had, but you got to make the best of it. And I know she's proud, and that's one of my goals is to keep her like in soul world. I call it soul world, but you know, I want her to be proud of me too. But what can we do proactively to, you know, like talking about death, like we were talking, you know, trying to learn how to calm yourself if you don't already have a practice. It's like then maybe it makes it a little bit less harsh. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I think just in general, you know, just from personal experience, what I've dealt with through, you know, through all the, I guess I would say, mediumship experiences that I've had, you know, and I wasn't planning on it. It was from when I was a child, you know, as I got older, and it became, you know, stronger and stronger and stronger. It made me realize that I needed to acknowledge it. You know, I needed to acknowledge death. I needed to acknowledge the people on the other side coming through. And instead of fighting it, as soon as I opened up, it was kind of like, you know, whoa, this is a whole different experience than I thought would happen. And so I think that, you know, for me, you know, everybody's different, obviously, but for me, it was one of those things that I couldn't not be a part of it. It kept coming at me. And as soon as I was like, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing, it shifted. And I think that's the same that when you lose someone, you're in such grief, you're going through so much, so much, so much. And as soon as you kind of stop and let go and understand that, okay, now what? I think these doors do start opening around you and you do start feeling more and you do start having these extraordinary, even if they're extraordinary, mini tiny experiences, they're still extraordinary. And then it leads you down another path. And I think that, you know, the other thing is like we recognize in a way how connected we really are with the people that who have passed, whether they're a loved one, they're a friend. We really have that connection. We continue to have it. And then you run into somebody that you haven't seen in a long time and that connection connects to something else. And all of a sudden you're like, we are all related. We are all connected. And I think that the beauty of that is we can have more experiences together when we're open. And when we acknowledge all that, and I think that, you know, that's, I guess I went down another path. Sorry about that, but I just started going. So I wanted to share that. And I just feel like it's really important because, you know, you had choices when, you know, you said all your life, it's been part of, you know, death was, you know, part of your, I guess, life in a way, your daily life in a way, just even talking about it. And there's other people that would never talk about it. Like I wouldn't have talked about it growing up, but then things happen. And it kind of shifts everybody together and you intersect and you connect and all of our choices are, you know, bringing us more information about the other side, about who we connect with here. And I love when there's a connection from the other side coming through because it's comforting. And I think that people need that comfort when they're going through that grief. And when you ask your loved one to come through and you ask them to give you a sign or you ask them to give you a dream, however you want to, you know, have it come through, when it does, you need to hold on to that validation. And like Melody said, she wanted sign after sign after sign for a while. And I understand that too. But even to get one, I always tell people to write it down and date it and even time it because then you can go back and look at it and go, yeah. And if you want to write a story about what you were doing when it happened or what was going on in your life when it happened, I think that's really important as well, because then people can look back and say, you know, oh my gosh, I had this experience and look what happened after it. It was like part of the whole. And I mean, and that's what we're trying to bring through too and change the narrative on the show. So, I mean, that's why we love when you call in and you tell a story, and we like when anybody calls in to share their story, because it allows everyone to kind of open up the door a little bit more. Does that make
Yeah,
sense?
that's amazing. Yeah. Janet, can I ask you, so when you were embracing your connection, as your medium side as you got older, do you find that it mitigates the grief when someone you love dies? Again, not like, you're always connecting with them necessarily, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, to me, I define grief as that deep, deep sad, and
Right.
that shifts. I don't think we have to hold that. But when my father died, I was, sitting there with him as he was taking his last bite, but I was sitting in joy because I learned. But I'm wondering, did that happen for you? Does that help you mitigate some of that deep grief when your people cross?
Yeah, I mean, it does. There's still that, heavy loss of, the physical. They're not around anymore. And, that. And all that comfort that came with it, yes, that part is really difficult. But I also was like, I knew instantly. I know they're in a good place. I know it. And it's like, and I mean, it just was like I, as much as grief as I was in, I was okay knowing that I knew they were in a good place. I didn't feel like I had to worry. Like when people say, "Well, I wonder where they are," I'm like, "No, I know they're in a good place, and I know they've, what they've gone through, and they've had, some have had hard lives, some have had, wonderful things happen." And then I'm like, you know what though? I know they're in a good place. I feel it. And when I allow to feel that, when I allow myself to just totally be open to that, it is beautiful. And no matter how much I miss that person, I know that they're still around, and that I know that if all I have to do is say, okay, wow, this was a tough week. A lot of really crazy things happened. A lot of, health things around people I love. And, just give me a sign. I just need that, And I mean, I'll even do that, and sure enough, something comes through, and I just almost laugh, like, I know, but it's kind of heavy here. We just need a little extra love once in a while. And but it does help a lot, I think, when, and that's part of what the show is about too, is to let people know that. Yeah, they can find comfort in that when someone passes and feel like, yeah, okay, or even like when, when my father passed and I was sitting there and, talking to him and saying, it's okay. And I started talking this whole scenario to him. And I knew, he was, he couldn't hear. I mean, he could hear, but you wouldn't know he could hear. But they always say that's the last to go. And I just felt like I knew he could hear me. And I just kind of told him what I thought and about, where I, why don't you head this way and do this? And it just was like, I really feel like that might have helped them. I don't know for sure, but I really feel like it helped them. And so there's a lot of that kind of thing. Or, when I would hear somebody had passed, and I'd just be like, okay, I'm just gonna sit here and what do I feel from you? What do I feel like happiness, or what do I see? Because, I get a lot of visuals, and it is pretty amazing. It's kind of like things you would picture down here. And it does help, I think, on a lot of levels, because they can come through in dreams, they can come through in visions, you can hear them. I mean, I've heard words a number of times. I've heard people say things to me, and I'm kind of like, okay, I got that. And it's interesting because, I always thought that if they were talking to me from the other side, and they had to be above me. And I learned early on, no, they don't. They can be in front of me. They can be beside of me. They can be behind me. And it doesn't matter, because they're coming through wherever it's connecting the most with me, which might sound odd, but sometimes people will say, oh, I always see them, but I feel like they're off to this side, or I feel like they're in front of me. And I'm like, I don't ever, t I tell people, you don't have to look above you. They're right in front of you, or they're right next to you. It's like, if they were your friend, they're probably right there, and they want to make sure that you get that feeling. And I always suggest to people that, just sit in your space. Like you said, if you meditate, and just when you open up to someone that you love and just say, hey, however you wish to come through me, I just want your energy for a little bit, and see if you notice something different. Do you feel something a little different? And I mean, that's like a perfect example. I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but I was thinking about this afternoon. We have a big snowstorm coming our way in Missouri. And it's like, you can feel the energy when you're out. You can feel it around people. And you don't see the snow right now, but you can feel that energy kind of manifesting around you. That's the same way when you lose a loved one. You can feel it. You don't have to see them. You just start to feel a shift in the air or the energy or something around you. And I think that's really comforting that when someone feels that, that's a beautiful sign as well. You don't have to, you know, say, I need this or I need that. I mean, you can, don't get me wrong. I think it's great. But at the same time, just that simple thing of like today, like when I felt that shift in the energy of the you know, of what's going to happen around me and of the energy of the people, it's the same with our loved ones. When they come through, you're going to feel this little bit of shift. You may not be able to explain it, but it's there. And I think that's really, you know, a really, I don't know, that's how I looked at it today when I was just thinking about it. So I thought I'd share it.
Good.
That's good.
That's really cool. It's funny because sometimes, you know, again, over the evolution of these last 5 years, I get kind of insights. And one, I was kind of really sad and walking the labyrinth where my daughter's memory stone is. And I was just kind of sad. I'm like, where, you know, you're out, you know, you're in the universe or whatever. And it just, it's like, no, we're right here. And so sometimes I walk around and I'm like, okay, the analogy I use is like when you're working in the garden and there's this whole colony of ants and they're doing their thing and you're doing your thing and you're all in the same space, but you're not even seeing each other necessarily, except maybe on occasion you cross paths, you know, you connect on the same place if they're out on top of the ground or something. So sometimes I imagine it's like, you know, I'm having a conversation with a sister or a brother or we're having dinner, but all around me is every, you know, all the soul world people doing whatever they're doing. And we're all in the same space. We're just not in the same, always in the same connection. And it just, it kind of cracks me up because it goes back to what you were saying. It's like, you know, how many meetings are we walking through, you know, meetings of souls are we walking through every day as we're traversing a trail or whatever? It just kind of cracks me up to think of it that way sometimes.
That's true. It's true.
Yes.
Betty, you have anything to add? I mean, Betty, I keep saying, I'm sorry, Kim. I know it's Kim.
I think this is good stuff. And well, we're talking about grief and where to go next. And I have some Janet Mayer words of wisdom that I've had for 5.5 years that every once in a while, I'll pull out that list. And one of the things you had talked about is as being a possible aim for this show, which is spot on for tonight. It's finding comfort with grief, allowing grief to open us to a new space.
That's true. And I still believe that. I do believe that, you know, when you walk through grief together, you know, there is comfort in that and it does open you up and it kind of gives you, you know, I think it kind of boils down to, and I always say this, is love. I mean, paying attention, opening up from out of love, and that, you know, grief doesn't define who we are. I think that's important to remember too, is that if you get caught up in that and you're in so much grief, if you stop and kind of take a break, take some breaths, you know, pause and open up, that, you know, it's that love that causes so much grief. I mean, if that's really how I look at it, is that, you know, we get caught up in our limits of what of the belief of when someone passes and or when they die. And it's good to remember that they are really still around us and that, you know, the grief won't define you. It will open you up to experience a whole new world. And it really does do that. And I know people who, you know, are experiencing grief, they may not feel that way. They might be mad. They go through, you know, all the stages. And I think it's important to, you know, remind them that, you know, they are, you know, you are still here and that, you know, you're here for a purpose. And, you know, you've been privileged to spend time with someone that you love and that now that you have to open up and go in new directions, you know. And spirits are there. They're going to, you know, they're present. They're going to be around you and they're going to love you. So.
Melanie, we lucked out with you giving a call and sharing so much and about your journey and your experiences with your daughter and your friend. And I just want to say thank you so much for doing that. That means a lot.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on. I would have gotten off if someone else called because I love, you know, all three of you and really appreciate your show. And I'm going to hang up and say thank you very much and have a good night.
And thank you. We appreciate you.
Call back anytime.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. You take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, Janet.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, it was a very nice conversation with Melanie. And I think that, or Melanie, I said the wrong name, Melanie. And I think it's important to talk about grief, talk about our loved ones. You know, they are still around. So I think that's really important to remind people, you know, and loss is individual. And it's unique in all these ways, too.
That's right. And while there are prescribed, you know, or noted steps and whatever, every journey is individual and unique, and there's space for everybody to have right. their own experience and you know, define it as well. We have probably 3 minutes or so left, Janet. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to share something, a story that I read today.
Yes, please do.
And I'll give it an abbreviated version here, but it's a story from the book called True Stories of Messages from Beyond from Julie Adlott and Friends. And there was this one in there about a man named John Vinh, for John Vincent. And it was through his daughter's narration, best I could tell. So he, family man, loving man, faithful man. She described him, you know, he was a simple man. He prayed every day and, you know, had a good life, a good family life. And at 76, he found out by accident while preparing for a procedure to be done, and he had a chest x-ray, that he had lung cancer. And so he had gone through chemo and he had gotten stable for a few years. And then he started to decline. And so he and his daughter had many talks, and he wasn't afraid of passing. And he felt sure he was going to heaven, going to a better place, but just really didn't want to, didn't know how he was going to deal with missing his family. But he had told his daughter that he says, if there are any, there's any way that I can let you know I'm okay and made it to heaven, I promise you I will. So one night, and that was in, December of 2004, that he had passed away. And the daughter was actually on the way to the hospital, and all of a sudden she just got this strange feeling, and she thought he passed. And she looked at the clock and it was 7:15. And so it's one of those stories where, you know, they get to the hospital, they're sitting around and ask the nurse, you know, what time did he pass? And it was confirmed, you know, that he had passed at 7:15. And there's a little bit more, but we need to just, I guess, honor that experience too. And if you could lead us in the Mahayana prayer as we close out, our producers let us know we've got 2 minutes.
Okay. Then I'll just say that is a beautiful story that she picked that up. That's a good sign for her, you know? I just think that's important. But yes, I will go ahead and say the Mahayana prayer. So may all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey.
Thank you, Janet. And thank you to our listeners.
Yes. And thank you, Kim. It was great talking to you today.
Oh, my pleasure. And I look forward to next month, and we'll be back to the trio again.
Yes, that sounds good.
Okay. Good night, everyone.